Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
And Fred Jackson, who is in Studio Venus. This is the place we keep the unclean.
I'll have you know, I take two showers a day.
Two showers a day. Wow. I don't want to see your water bill. Anyway, Fred Jackson, who is a news director for OneNewsNow.com. And folks, we do invite you to check out the stories at OneNewsNow.com. We have a lot of great information there, and they'll keep you up to date with what is happening with Election 2020 and the repercussions of that, what's coming next as far as we know. And so, Fred, your gang over there does great work on One News Now.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I think it's an understatement to say the last 3.5-4 years have been a tumultuous time in our country politically. And an election on November 3rd, just a week ago today, hasn't changed anything. The results have come in many places, but those results are now being challenged on many fronts for many reasons. And we're going to try to do our best to keep you up to date on all of this. The election, I guess you could say, guys, is not over yet. You know, we have to wait for a lot of things to play out yet. And that's what we're trying to do, to tell you that story day by day.
And, you know, a lot of people, I hope this is not true, but I think it is true. There are a lot of people, even of voting age in this country, who think the election is over when the media says it is.
Yeah.
You know, Walker, I mean, they look on Fox or they look on CNN and it says Joe Biden won, he's president-elect, but technically, constitutionally, it's not over until each state certifies the election results.
Yeah. Yeah, and this may end up being a lesson for some who are willing to take lessons in the media, that next time and really moving forward, we don't need to, the media just doesn't need to declare a winner. They just need to show the counts in the various states and then let the voters make up their mind. And then after December 14th, once the Electoral College has met, then you can declare a winner based on what the Constitution says. But I think One News Now, Fred, is going to play a crucial role in the next few weeks, because who knows where this is going to land, if these legal challenges, how much they're going to change.
Yes.
But we all need to watch. And I think people are frustrated at even Fox News. I'm frustrated at Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
I only cut it on at night so I can watch Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. But and I know you have examples of this, but people want somewhere where they can go and get the truth, get facts, get trusted information. So One News Now has that right now, so you can go to onenewsnow.com and read the latest updates on this situation.
Exactly, and unfortunately we learned over the last 4 years that the mainstream media, for the most part, very tainted, very pro-Democratic Party, and very anti-Donald Trump and the Republican Party. And that has certainly carried through in the wake of the election. As you guys were just saying, there was almost celebration. I think we actually played a clip yesterday of CNN and MSNBC people actually weeping for joy on the air.
Yes.
Believing that Joe Biden will be the next president.
Incredible.
They were not afraid to hide their emotions and to hide their bias. And that is still showing in the stories that you read in many of these mainstream media today.
All right, Fred. So, by the way, I do want to say I saw J.J. Jasper in the hallway. This goes to what you guys are saying about where can you get your news. J.J. Jasper, who's one of our morning, one of our most popular morning people on American Family Radio, he said he simply posted what we sent out, Walker, from Tim, which was to just tell people, listen, there are legal challenges going on and we don't need to rush to judgment. Let this process play out. J.J. Jasper posted it on two websites, I think his personal and then his AFR personality Facebook page, and both of them were blocked. Just a simple statement like that, blocked by Facebook.
Yeah, and traditionally, it's up to the American people and their viewers and readers of news to look at both sides, what both are saying, and then come to their own conclusion based on the evidence and the facts. And that's how people make up their mind on how they view different issues. But for the past few years, and really has ramped up the past month, these companies like Facebook and Twitter and Google have determined that they're going to be the verifiers of what's true and what's not when it comes to the news, and it's all one-sided. And so the Trump campaign is having trouble actually getting information out because they're being blocked, and we just put out a simple statement, all of which is just stating the facts of how the president is chosen when it comes to the Electoral College. But apparently even that's not acceptable for these companies.
Yeah, they're all in, and they have become major players, talking about big social. They become major players in our electoral process, and it's insidious, frankly, what they have been doing. And so, you know, we are looking here at AFA and AFR for good, solid, reliable alternatives so that free speech can continue, because free speech, folks, is dead on Twitter and Facebook and maybe some other minor players there, but free speech is dead if you are a conservative and a Christian and have been speaking out about this election. So anyway, free speech is a wonderful gift that we have been given, and we need to make sure we fight for it. All right, Fred, by the way, folks, we have in just a few minutes Dr. Frank Turek coming up, bottom of the hour, Sandy Rios. So we talk about getting information and the truth. We'll be turning to these folks as the program progresses. But Fred, maybe we get a squeeze a story in before we get Dr. Frank Turek on the line.
Yesterday, the Trump campaign filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court for the Mid-District of Pennsylvania. Now, I want to give you a figure, folks, that you need to remember. There were roughly 6.6 million ballots counted in Pennsylvania. 6.6 million ballots counted in Pennsylvania. The difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden is just 46,256 votes. That's razor thin. Only 0.69% difference between the two.
Wow.
The lawsuit has been filed because the Trump campaign believes there were violations. Of those ballots counted, 682, actually 685,000 ballots in Pennsylvania were mailed in ballots. One of the first allegations that this lawsuit is making is that there were poll watchers, which legally are allowed to watch the counting taking place in the various districts. The Trump campaign is saying they were not permitted to observe the count. They were blocked from doing so, put behind barriers in a massive room many feet from where the count was taking place. That's number one. Number two, the lawsuit also argues that Pennsylvania had an illegal two-tiered voting system, which placed restrictions and safeguards if you showed up in person to vote versus mailing in a ballot. So there was a tougher stance taken up against people who showed up at polling stations to vote as far as verification, you know, signatures, who you are, where you live, versus those hundreds of thousands of mailed-in ballots. And number three, there's also an injunction being sought prohibiting the state and counties from certifying results that are a result of mail-in ballots that were improperly permitted to be cured. In other words, some people mailed in ballots, but there were mistakes on that, and they wanted to correct those mistakes, but that, according to the petition, was not done. And finally, states, along with Pennsylvania GOP, argued that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court violated the U.S. Constitution when it allowed mail-in ballots received by November 6th to be counted so long as they were postmarked before Election Day, November 3rd.
Well, or, Fred, or if you can't read the postmark.
Yes, exactly. But that was being done. So that's at least 4 points. This petition, I think, is 100 and some pages long.
105.
105. But that's the basic crux of it right there. And that's just one petition that the Trump campaign is filing. By the way, the problem areas, according to this lawsuit, Allegheny County, which is Pittsburgh, Philadelphia County, which obviously is the city of Philadelphia.
All right, we want to bring our federal election expert in to this discussion, Dr. Frank Turek, host of Cross Examined. And maybe there'll be some cross-examination going on in Pennsylvania. I don't know. He's heard Saturdays at 9 a.m. Central Time and Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time. Frank, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ed, what expert are you having on?
That's you, man.
It's me.
That's right. We want you to settle this issue. What's going on? What's going on in our country in terms of the vote?
Well, let me just say this, that I think no matter what side of the political aisle you're on, you ought to want to know whether this election was decided fairly or not. If you're for Biden and the Democrats, why wouldn't you want to take away any doubt about the legitimacy of the election? You would want this checked into to make sure that people can't say, well, this election was stolen or Biden is illegitimate. Of course, if you're on the other side, you want the same thing. You want to know if Trump and the Republicans really did lose. Actually, it seems that Trump is the only one that really lost. Down ballot, most Republicans did quite well, which is an odd thing when you think about it, which is one of the reasons people are going, oh, this doesn't appear to, it just doesn't appear to pass the smell test. There seems to be some smoke here, and where there's smoke, there's fire. That's why this process needs to go forward regardless of who ultimately wins it. The integrity of our election process is more important than the eventual winner of the 2020 election.
Frank, one question I had is, or really just one statement, and you can comment on it, is when I looked up which states use paper ballots, which ones use a combination of paper ballots and then scanning machines, and then which states just use 100% electronics to vote. There's a few states that just use computers, meaning there's really no such thing as a hand recount of physical ballots. I mean, you go back and look at what the computer says. To me, that's a little concerning in the days of cyber warfare, if you will, not having a state that you really can't go back and hand count ballots just to make sure you got the numbers right.
Yeah, in fact, Sidney Powell, the attorney for Michael Flynn, has talked at length about this hammer and scorecard software that apparently was flipping votes, according to her anyway, from Trump to Biden. And that needs to be checked into. There's also this Dominion software. I'm sure you've spoken about it on the program before. That has questions about it. And look, a 3% swing is really a 6% swing, because you take 3% from Trump and give it to Biden. If you reverse that, that would change every election in every swing state, if that's really true. And so that needs to be looked into, quite obviously. I don't know if it's true or not. I know, apparently, it wasn't just Sidney Powell saying this. I've also seen General McInerney of the United States Air Force. At one time, he was the third ranking officer in the Air Force. He's saying that we actually employed this software in foreign countries, particularly in elections, to flip the election the way we wanted it to go. The CIA or NSA was using this, apparently. This is what I've heard from a couple of sources. Again, I don't know if that's true or not, but this needs to be checked into, because if it's being used in our elections, that's obviously a big problem. Of course, it's a big problem if it's used in any election.
Well, these questions just reemphasize the need for a hand recount in states. Yes. where the law says if it's under a certain percentage, meaning it's a tight race like Georgia and Wisconsin, that a hand recount is part of the process. And that if there were any issues in the tabulations, then a hand recount would reveal that.
Well, Fred, just to kind of springboard off what Frank and Walker are saying, here is the percentage difference thus far. Some of these races have already been called, at least in terms of the media. But these are all within what we're talking about, this 3%. Arizona, Biden is up by 0.5%, less than 1%. In Georgia, Biden up at this point There's still counting going on by 0.25%. Mm-hmm. Nevada, Biden up by 2.77%. North Carolina, Trump by 1.39%. Pennsylvania, Biden by 0.69%. All of these, a difference of less than 3%. Three of them, less than 1% difference, Fred.
Yeah. It's razor thin. And it's not unusual. And listen, everybody knows if this was reversed, that last Saturday the media declared that Donald Trump, I don't know what media would do that, because they're unfriendly to Donald Trump. But let's say we got to last Saturday and there was a declaration that Trump had the 270 electoral votes. We all know that the Biden campaign would be doing exactly what the Trump campaign is doing. And the media would be on Biden, the Biden campaign side of things, out there saying outrageous things, how terrible it is that Trump bought the election, et cetera, et cetera. So don't be deceived. What I'd like to do is give you that example. We talked about this a few moments ago, and maybe Frank would like a comment on this. Yesterday, on Neil Cavuto's program on Fox News, they went live to a news conference with Kayleigh McEnany, which is a spokesperson, everybody knows, for the White House and for the Trump campaign. She was outlining their concerns. And listen to what Neil Cavuto did just about a minute and a half into that news conference. Cut number two.
There is only one party in America trying to keep observers out of the count room. And that party, my friends, is the Democrat Party. Our position is clear. We want an honest, accurate, lawful count. We want maximum sunlight. We want maximum transparency. We want every legal vote to be counted, and we want every illegal vote to
be
counted.
I just think we have to be very clear. She's charging, the other side is welcoming fraud and welcoming illegal voting. Unless she has more details to back that up, I can't in good countenance continue showing you this. I want to make sure that maybe they do have something to back that up, but that's an explosive charge to make, that the other side is effectively rigging and cheating.
But if you listen to what McEnany said, she didn't say any of those things that Cavuto charged her with. All she said was, we want every legal vote to be counted and every illegal vote not to be counted.
Frank, let me just ask you, first of all, what's wrong with what Kayleigh McEnany was saying? Second of all, why is Neil Cavuto reacting this way? And let me just remind our listeners, after President Trump won in 2016, all we heard from the Democrats was that the Russians were involved and they threw the election to Trump. I don't recall Neil Cavuto saying we're not even going to talk about this because it's a baseless charge.
This is one of the most frustrating things about the media to me. This isn't just on Fox and Cavuto. This obviously is on these other major media outlets where even when the president is talking, they'll jump in and say, well, that's not true. That's not right. It's not their job to evaluate what somebody is saying as they're saying it. Let them say what they want to say, and then if you want to editorialize after that, go ahead. But don't cut the press secretary of the United States president off in mid-sentence. Don't cut off the president in mid-sentence. Let them say what they're supposed to say. You're supposed to be a news outlet. They could be putting forth complete lies. It's not your job to cut them off. It's your job after that to editorialize or to give your perspective if you want, but let them say what they want to say. This censorship has to end. It's ridiculous.
Well, Walker, Chris Wallace of Fox News did this to President Trump in the first debate. Now, obviously, the first debate in terms of President Trump and former Vice President Biden, that wasn't their finest hour, that first debate. As Tim said, it was a bit of a food fight. But Chris Wallace did this with the president, interrupted him on several occasions, said that's not true. And Frank's saying, I think he's exactly right. That's not his job. It's not the job of the media to decide what we can hear.
Yeah, no, they're supposed to report what people are saying. And Chris Wallace, the moment these journalists and these news, quote, reporters start interjecting themselves in the middle of breaking news to provide their commentary, they might as well be commentators. Right. And it's not allowing people to consume information and decipher what's right and wrong, because we keep having these commentators jump in and interrupt the broadcast.
What if Kayleigh McEnany proceeded to lay out the evidence? Now, the evidence was being put forth in court,
right,
so she wasn't going to do that. But what if she had, immediately after saying that, started laying out the case that is what was going to court, and because Neil Cavuto had cut her off, he would have missed it?
Well, Ronna McDaniel actually did right after McEnany. Ronna McDaniel came up and described the specific counts, the specific allegations that were filed in this 105-page lawsuit in Pennsylvania, but they didn't stay with the coverage. He moved away from it. But this is a one-way street, because Democrats and the left make allegation after allegation of all these outlandish things that they literally have no facts to back it up, but the media repeats it and repeats it. They did it for 3 years on the Russia hoax, and as it turns out, it wasn't even true, but they covered it wall to wall for 3 years. Here, the Trump campaign is just wanting all the legal votes counted and the illegal votes cast out, and the media can't stand that.
You know, Frank, the fact of the matter is that the U.S. Supreme Court, Justice Samuel Alito, ordered, and we'll probably get to this after we get rid of Frank and go to the break, but the Supreme Court, Samuel Alito, ordered Pennsylvania to keep all the votes that came in after 8 p.m. on election night, keep them segregated, keep them off to the side, and you know what? Pennsylvania didn't do it, didn't follow the order from the U.S. Supreme Court. How can Neil Cavuto, just on the basis of that, I would think Neil Cavuto would give Kayleigh McEnany the grace to make her argument, because that in and of itself is suspicious. Am I just being partisan here?
No, Kayleigh McEnany is one of the most articulate press secretaries I've ever seen. She's always prepared. She's got a notebook full of points that she needs to make. And now, I don't know if you've reported this or not, but the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, has authorized the Justice Department to look into voting irregularities in this election.
Right.
So to make it seem like there's no basis for any of this is ridiculous. It's news, and the point of these lawsuits is to bring the evidence before trial. You know, when George Stephanopoulos is talking to the governor of South Dakota, he's saying, "Well, you have no evidence," and she says, "Well, certain affidavits have been filed," and he says, "Well, you still have no evidence." George, she just said there were affidavits. You think she's gonna read the affidavits in a 2-minute interview with you?
Right.
I mean, the media is just ridiculously biased. What we all need to do is we just have to look for the facts and let the facts go where they may. I don't really care what Neil Cavuto does. I would be concerned if I was in Pennsylvania and I defied the Supreme Court's order.
Yeah.
Because if this does go to the Supreme Court, they are not going to look upon that favorably.
And for those of our listeners who are wondering, what is being said by Kristi Noem is that affidavits are sworn statements by people, and this is under oath, that they saw fraudulent practices happening. Now, that is the kind of thing where you could cross-examine a person who issues an affidavit, and maybe they saw something that wasn't real, or that's the way they interpreted it, but when Kristi Noem says sworn affidavits, it's like a witness in a court case that is considered evidence of a sort.
Under oath.
Under
yes.
oath. All right, Frank, yes. What do you got coming up? We're just about out of time here before our break.
Well, we'll see. We'll be on Saturday at 9 Central, 10 Eastern here, Lord willing, on the American Family Radio Network on our show, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. So we'll probably talk a little bit about what's going on, I hope, anyway. We'll see.
Okay. All right, Dr. Frank Turek, host of Cross Examined, has been our guest. Frank, thank you so much for being on with us.
God bless you guys. See you
all
next
right.
time.
Bless you as well. Folks, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue with more of today's issues. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
It's one thing to profess to be faith-filled and to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ and obedient to his ways and to his word when things are smooth. But blessed are you, brothers and sisters, when you persevere under trial.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
every American ought to visit George Washington's Mount Vernon estate south of Washington, D.C. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going to Mount Vernon on one of our spiritual heritage tours coming up in June and September 2021. Wanted to let you know about these tours already because they will fill up quick. So, for all the information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. We're going to be going to Yorktown, Jamestown, and Williamsburg as well on a separate trip. So much rich American history there to be experienced. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a nationally noted historian, and he's going to be with us along the way. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Southern states are dealing with a mighty big problem, the war of northern migration. Traditionally red states turning purple and blue as an influx of northerners moved to places like North Carolina and Georgia, taking advantage of the low cost of living and quality of life, sweet tea, fried chicken, air conditioning, what's there not to like? North Carolina seems to be ground zero. About 4 in 10 North Carolinians were actually born somewhere else. Raleigh is the second fastest growing city in the nation. Charlotte is the eighth. Democrats control the city halls and governor's mansion. Conservatives in the South say they're happy to roll out the welcome wagon, but their hospitality does have limitations. As one North Carolina resident said on my radio program, y'all are more than happy to move down here, just don't pack your politics. Be sure to download my free daily podcast, listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern on ToddStarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman and from Studio Venus, Fred Jackson. Folks, a little bit of bad news, sad news, I should say. Bishop Harry Jackson, many of you are familiar with him. He's a friend of American Family Association and American Family Radio. He's been in at least one documentary that I can think of off the top of my head, but he's been on with us many times on this network. Passed away yesterday at age 66. A statement was posted on the website of Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland, where Bishop Jackson was senior pastor. One of the fine conservatives in our nation and a real warrior with the heart of a lion, loved God, loved America. And so when I say sad news, it's sad for us. We're going to miss his steadiness and faithfulness, his articulate expression. But he gains heaven. Please pray for the family of Bishop Harry Jackson. All right, we want to welcome to the program one of our usual guests on Tuesday. She's a very unusual person, but she is a frequent guest, I should say, on Tuesdays when she's available. Sandy Rios, Director of Governmental Affairs, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Sandy, welcome back to Today's Issues.
Thank you, Ed. I do feel like I've been gone. What happened to me? I was gone for 2 weeks. You know, I have to confess to you and to everyone, I completely forgot last week. See, on Tuesday mornings, I do a pre-tape. So I'm usually in here in the studio like from 5 a.m. till, you know, noon, because I do your show
right
at 11:30. But on the mornings, when the rare Tuesdays when I don't do that, if I get out of this room and I get distracted or am onto something else, I forget. So that's what happened to me last week.
Well,
I was somewhere else when I saw, oh, my gosh, It's I got it. It was too late. So I apologize.
Well, listen, I want to tell you as a I've been in the ministry, the pastoral ministry since 1982. My biggest fear in the world was that I might forget about having a wedding on a Saturday. So, because, you know, you get busy, you know, doing in the working in the yard, whatever.
And it's out of your normal routine.
Out of your normal routine. So I would, especially if it was a late afternoon wedding, I would post signs all over the house saying wedding tonight. Never did forget, but I lived in fear of that. And so I am totally sympathetic. All right.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah. Fred, open up with a question for Sandy, and then the roof's coming off because we're going to dive in.
All right. Well, Sandy, I'm not sure if you're in the studio this morning, but there's breaking news. According to the mainstream media, the election is all over, and Joe Biden has won, and the Republicans need to keep quiet and just go along with the new Biden administration because they're anxious, according to Joe Biden, to bring the country together, put our divisions behind us, and let's just move on and get away from all this debate about, elections and fraudulent votes, all that sort of thing. You ready to move on, Sandy?
No, I am not. Because, you know, honestly, Fred, think of the irony of that. Mm. Look what they did in 2016.
Yeah.
When President Trump won, there wasn't even any contesting because he really resoundingly won, even though the votes were close in some states. But no one was plotting or planning because they didn't expect him to win. Hmm. And so they just would not accept the results of that election. And they started immediately talking. They started the resist movement. I think that was the next day. And I remember being in Washington at the inaugural. And I remember that it was dangerous for us because they were actually attacking Trump supporters the night of the inaugural, you know, balls. They threw like some kind of bleach product on Trump supporters. And then, of course, the Women's March took place, I think, a day or two after the inauguration. And so it has gone. They have resisted in the agencies all in Washington, from the Education Department to, you know, to Justice, there's been this underground attempt to stop anything that President Trump wanted to do. The fact that he's accomplished what he's accomplished is nothing short of miraculous. So I didn't really see them taking their own advice in 2016. And now I have to say we have very real reasons not to embrace Joe Biden yet, because we have so many states that are still in flux, and nothing has been certified. Not a single state has certified Joe Biden as their winner. Not a single one. I don't know if people know that or not, but it's
true.
You
mean out of all 50 states, nobody has certified their results yet?
No one has certified because it's not they have not finished where they feel like they can certify. Now, we have assumed with vote tallies, and the media organizations have, you know, done, as we well know, done their own declarations, but nothing has been certified.
Sandy, this is Walker. Let me ask you this. You know, when I hear Joe Biden in the recent days calling for unity and the Democrats calling for unity, you would think that they would understand that until people who voted for President Trump know and can trust that this election took place with fairness and integrity, that there's no way to get that unity. But yet they're rushing to basically crown Biden as the president before we even get to the Electoral College.
Well, I think the best way to explain that, Walker, is what we are experiencing is what military intelligence people would call psyops. It's like psychological control, warfare. It's what they used on our enemies for decades, and it worked very well. Now they're using it on the American people. Why do I say that? Because no one can doubt that, however extensive it is, there is a force that's been sort of behind a lot of the things that have taken place, like all the media outlets and all the polling companies giving us false information for months, declaring Joe Biden is like 17 points ahead. He's 12 points ahead. There's no way Donald Trump can win. Joe Biden is so far ahead. And we know now, as of election night, and under any circumstance, that is just a lie. That is absolutely not true. They told us that the Republicans were going to lose the Senate, probably going to lose the Senate, and they were certainly going to lose their place in the House, you know, the seats in the House of Representatives. The opposite happened. They took over tons of seats in the House of Representatives, 10, I think, and then that's a lot for this election year, given the prognostications. And in the Senate, of course, they won seats that have now been, you know, taken back now that these new ballots have been found. John James, for one, was, like President Trump, way ahead on election night, and then suddenly it was snatched from him. Same thing with other people around the country. So my point is that we have, okay, I said PSYOPs. So the media has been working together, and the net effect of these polls is that it discourages you. And you think, what's the use? It's already decided. And so it was really a stroke of genius that Fox News should be the one that should call it the race just a few days ago, because Fox is the outlet that most Trump supporters have looked to for information. And so that was not an accident. It was Fox that called. They shouldn't have, but they did. They didn't know. They don't have that power. I mean, we don't even have all the votes counted.
They were the first one to call it before even CNN and AP.
That's right. And they had no right to do that. And by the way, we know as of this morning, we've been going back and forth on this, but Real Clear Politics never has called Arizona. They never have called them. And so,
nor Pennsylvania.
Or Pennsylvania. In fact, Joe Biden doesn't have, according to them, the votes necessary to declare himself the president-elect. So this is all like optics, because I bet not any person listening to me, and none of you guys either, could deny that when Fox announced that Joe Biden was the winner, that you didn't feel a gut punch, a discouragement, a depression, a what in the world? How can this be? But it wasn't real. But it did its damage. And so now Joe Biden's rushing out because he wants to declare, because that's doing its damage. They want to create this notion of inevitability, but it's not reality. Now, true, this is true, that psychologically motivating people or manipulating them into believing a thing has power of its own. Mm. I mean, they may have created a situation where President Trump, even though he likely did win, will not be able to prevail because people are being motivated and managed. Their hearts and their minds and their emotions are being managed. I'll just say one more thing. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to try to figure out if President Trump suddenly prevails in these counts, what the reaction's going to be.
Well, Sandy, I don't want to say that I was depressed after hearing that, but I did eat an entire pepperoni pizza. I don't know if that counts for depression. All right, let me play devil's advocate for just a second, Sandy. All right. So let's say Pennsylvania is, for whatever the rationale, let's say it is flipped, okay? And President Trump gets those 20 electoral votes. Joe Biden loses. Let's say he does, at the current moment, have Arizona. So he is at 270 electoral votes. I hear what you're saying. Here's the devil's advocate part. But there's no way for President Trump to make up the vote differential in these other states where he is trailing. Okay, so Nevada, I won't say Georgia or North Carolina, Arizona. What do you say? Because in Nevada, for example, he's behind 36,000, Arizona 14,700. So what do you say? Is it possible to make up that kind of distance and then, so in other words, pull another state out of the Biden column?
Yes, I think it is. I'm not prepared to talk to you about numbers and various electoral votes and all of that, but I will say this. In my inbox, just before I join you, a story now, President Trump has pulled within 1% of Biden in Arizona. The gap between them is getting very narrow. And I also know that in these states where the president is bringing lawsuits or they're calling for, well, Michigan, for instance, we'll talk about Michigan, and then we talk about Pennsylvania, too. We had hundreds of thousands of votes showing up suddenly. And we have witnesses in at least one of those states, Michigan. I don't know about Pennsylvania yet. We have witnesses that say they saw an affidavit has been filed, a car pull up at, I think it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was a Biden van, and he saw there were tons of ballots in that van. And they, he said that they circled the van so that he couldn't see what was happening inside. But before they did that, he saw what was in there. And he said that, and then they would not let him back. He was a watcher, a poll watcher, some designation. And they wouldn't let him back in the room. And he said that's when they started putting the cardboard back up on the windows, which I'm sure you saw that story.
Yeah, right.
So there are lots of eyewitnesses, and some of them are Democrats, to things that were happening inside. And that's the basis of these lawsuits. So if that's true, then in Michigan, we know there are there could be, assuming that story pans out, there could be hundreds of thousands of votes that have been that were brought in last minute.
And my understanding is there are some states where they haven't even counted the military absentee ballots, which
I think Georgia was what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I think Georgia, it's true with Georgia. I think they couldn't start until, I just read that a little bit ago. But
yes,
yeah, they haven't
Sandy,
started
this,
yet.
This story, this affidavit you're talking about was filed in a Michigan court. And this affidavit says that this poll watcher says that at approximately 4:30 a.m., tens of thousands of ballots, this is according to the affidavit, tens of thousands of ballots were brought in and placed on eight long tables. Unlike the other ballots, these boxes were brought in from the rear of the room. The same procedure was performed on the ballots that arrived at approximately 4:30 a.m., but I specifically noticed that every ballot I observed was cast for Joe Biden, and these ballots were brought in from vehicles on the back of the Arena Center with out-of-state license plates. This was in Wayne County in Michigan.
Yep. Thanks for that's great.
Yeah,
Welcome.
So this these affidavits the Trump campaign said yesterday they filed over 100 affidavits relating to these lawsuits. So these are just piling up. Wisconsin's actually pretty close. I think it's within 20 to 25,000 votes now.
Yes, and the thing of it is if they can actually there are a lot of people working on this computer glitch story. Because there were computer glitches, quote unquote, in I think at least five different states, and they all behaved the same way. Now there's the story about the gentleman who invented the Dennis Montgomery, I think his name was, who invented this thing called hammer and whatever it
scorecard.
Is. And now there's some question about the veracity of his story, but let me just say, that has nothing to do with how the computers behaved that night and what the results of that, whether they came from his invention. It's true that at a certain time in these, I believe it's five states. Remember when we were watching the night of the election and suddenly these states decided to stop counting?
Yes.
There were like five states and they all did it at the same time. And then they reconvened like at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And suddenly there were a couple hundred thousand more votes for Joe Biden.
Yep.
And that's so there was a company out of Texas or some security national cybersecurity experts out of Texas who've done a study now, and I can't repeat the details of what they said. I'm not a cyber person, but they believe very good information and proof that these voting machines are completely not machines, that the machines are the company they're affiliated with. And the places they were connected to, there were all kinds of nefarious things happening and that they happened in all of these states. If they can prove that, my goodness, that will change everything. And trust me, there are really great people who have gone to work for the Trump team who believe something really wrong has happened here. And they're spending hours and hours of their own money. They're staying in hotels at their own expense. And there are rallies being held around the country because people need to let the country know that it's not over yet, because that's our part of balancing out the psychological warfare that we see Fox participating in and the other channels also, trying to make us think something is happening that really is not true. It just isn't true. It's not a matter of opinion. Joe Biden does not have 370, right? He does not have
270.
He does not have 270 electoral votes. That's not true. He does not have Pennsylvania. He has not been certified in any of the states. And so it's just a fake. It's a head fake. And they want Joe Biden to hurry. You know, I heard Ben Rhodes say last night that Joe's already calling world leaders.
Right.
You know, so here's the thing. Isn't that why President Trump or was impeached? Wasn't that why
Michael Flynn got
in trouble? Because he called a world leader and he wasn't, you know, in the
wasn't
White House
officially yet. In.
That's right. That's
hey,
right.
Sandy, so, I'm going to ask you one more question, then we'll let you go.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, we got Bill Barr, the Attorney General, investigating all kinds of things going on, lawsuits. The Supreme Court seems destined to get involved in Pennsylvania. So what do you see happening? What happens if Pennsylvania is such a mess, if Michigan is such a mess that nobody can say for sure what their votes were? What is the next step? I mean, what happens if our election is in doubt?
Well, my understanding is that constitutionally what happens is that the state legislatures will decide who the electors will be. Now, beyond that, I can't explain it. Mark Levin has written something about this, but it will turn. Now, Republicans hold, at least they did before this election, and now I don't know. I think they may have picked up a couple. I'm not sure.
They did pick up at least one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that would make it that means they would be in control of 27 state legislatures.
Right. You're talking about it gets thrown to the House of Representatives.
No. I'm talking about state legislatures to choose the electors. And it has nothing to do with the governor or any of the state offices.
So it has nothing to do with the actual vote cast on Election Day? They just decide it?
They have the power. That's correct. They have the power to decide it. Mm-hmm. And depending on how, and you can imagine how complicated that is in 50 states.
Yeah.
And what all the machinations and all the chicanery that could occur around that. But that's technically what would happen. And then the electors would convene, I think it's January, I think, and then they would decide.
Well, December 14th is the day
the Electoral College
is supposed to meet. You're saying these electors would be selected to go to the Electoral College gathering?
Yes, okay. and then place their
and
votes.
I think Congress itself certifies everything after the Electoral College has met, and that's in early January.
I see. Well, listen, Sandy, that would be a mess, and we all know what would happen if President Trump is ultimately declared the victor, and that is big cities in this country will be burned to the ground. I mean, there will be I'm not advocating for that. I think it would be horrifying. I'm just saying the radical left will not accept that. And that is because this plan, whatever the plan was, you know, in terms of, you know, legal maneuverings and illegal maneuverings, the left is demanding that they get their way. And Trump being the president for a second term is not what they were thinking.
And let me just, that's true, but let me also, this is also true. The left is already unhappy. The left is already turning on itself.
Right.
The hard left wants revolution. They don't care about Joe Biden. Right. And I just played this morning on my show a clip where they were in front of a white Biden supporter's home. He and his wife are on the porch, and he's begging them, "Hey, I'm a Biden. See my sign? I supported Biden." And they're yelling at him, "This is white privilege. We don't care about you give us your white man candidate. This is not." I mean, it's going to be all-out war in a different way. The other thing is, the left is through, they're organizing all these groups. You've probably heard the theme. They're coming after Trump supporters. They will not, like, if we decide to do kumbaya and we acquiesce and we don't need to recount, we'll just let it go, you know? They are not. They are out for vengeance, for blood, for revenge. Do not think for a moment it's going to be peaceful. It isn't. And they'll be after AFA. They will be after, I can tell you right now, Christian broadcasting, conservative radio will be in their crosshairs like you can't believe. And that's just one tiny thing, shall I say?
Yeah.
Big to us. So, because they are into information control. They're already, Biden has said, if, you know, since he is the president-elect, he's appointed executives from Google, Twitter, and Facebook to serve in his new administration. So the shutdown of information for us will be deadly. It will be an all-out assault, even on our ability to get information from each other. And then people who have supported President Trump, I'll say first in Washington, people that I know so well, They're blackballing them. They're saying don't give them any jobs, punish them. They'll be for what you did to support Donald Trump. There's real danger here. It's not going to go down lightly, even if Joe Biden is, in fact, the president. So we better fight now. That's all I can say. We better fight while we can.
Thank you, Sandy. Sandy Rios has been our guest, Director of Governmental Affairs and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Very popular program because Sandy, as you have heard, gets right down into the gritty-ditty. What is it?
Nitty-gritty. I do try to get the gritty-ditty. I'm not sure I achieve it, but I try.
The gritty-ditty and the nitty-gritty. I'm telling you, she leaves no gritty unturned.
Song by that name, man, Gritty Ditty.
I think it involved a twist, didn't it? Yeah. All right, Sandy. See, I bailed you out. You forgot about last week's program.
Yes.
I forgot what the nitty-gritty was. So.
Okay, well, you're forgiven, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy.
Okay, talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, that didn't go well as I tried to gracefully exit out of that interview. Fred, any thoughts? We didn't let you speak a whole lot that half hour. Any thoughts about what Sandy was saying?
No, I'm thinking of songs now. Gritty nitty.
I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry to put that in your head.
I just want to go back to something we said. I know we only got a couple of minutes left. But we talked about, and I think Frank mentioned this, that here's an oddity, that the Republicans picked up a legislature. They may have picked up 10 seats, House seats. How is it that somebody goes into a voting booth and they say, I'm going to vote Republican for House, I'm going to vote Republican for the Senate, I'm going to vote Republican for the legislature, but by golly gee, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden for president. That does not make sense. And that's why suspicions are being raised. Republicans did so well in all of these other categories.
Yeah.
Why is it that that person then would say, but I'm going to vote for Biden?
Look, if Joe Biden won fair and square, which that's a possibility, then these states should have no problem reviewing and certifying their votes.
Yeah.
Because if he's up in all these places and they're confident of it, then Do your reviews where recounts need to occur legally. Do the recounts. Be transparent. And then certify the elections.
Yeah, I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
If that's the way it happened.
But instead, they don't even want to talk about certifying things. They don't even want to talk about reviewing things. But if he won fair and square, then let's follow the procedures to certify things. And then see who the winner is.
You know what? I actually, the next morning after election, you know, I went to bed and Trump was up in five, you know, swing states. And I thought, well, I think President Trump's going to win. I woke up the next morning. We all know what happened. And as the day progressed, I kind of was saying, well, I guess Biden came back. And I would have accepted that as being the will of the voters. But then stories started coming out and I started thinking, well, wait a second. Is some of this... these shenanigans, did this really happen?
Right.
If it did, then maybe Biden didn't win fair and square.
Right.
I think, as we've noted on this program, both political parties should be happy with knowing that our electoral system is safe and fair. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we are just about at the clock here. We're going to take a 5-minute break for news, and when we come back, Steve Jordahl will have more Gritty Ditty straight ahead.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.